When God spoke to Moses, he introduced himself by name, I am. I am, he said, and his name means I am who I was and I will be who I am. I am. I am tomorrow, I am and always have been the uncreated one, the one who is eternally true. Jesus speaks God's name thousands of years later and introduces himself using God's name. Seven times in John's gospel, we hear Jesus say, I am, and then adds to the name. Another name alongside it, in some ways, God's nicknames. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of heaven. I am the gateway to life itself. And today we consider, I am the Good Shepherd. Sheep, well, I had tried to get a sheep in this morning, a real live bleating sheep. Wasn't successful. I did consider bringing a kilo of lamb mince along, but I thought that might be lacking in taste in some ways, but tasty in a whole load of other ways. But sheep, across thousands of breeds, and despite their ruggedness and their ability to adapt across all different kinds of places and cultures, sheep are stupid. They have little sense of self-preservation, a little understanding of danger. They are defenseless and without an internal compass. They will put themselves in trouble again and again. Sheep are stupid. And maybe that's a bit too harsh. And they are at best simple creatures who have simple desires and simple needs. But they need shepherds. Sheep need shepherding. I once, maybe I've told this story before, in the Lake District of the UK, whilst on retreat, watched this whole hillside of sheep. And as I watched and tried to be holy and to meet God in that moment and think, God, this is like your church. This one sheep began to trot and then to run down the hillside, looking happy and glad of its ability to run down this hill as fast as it could. It got faster and faster and faster and faster. And that sheep is going. And it did not stop until it met the fence, at which point it stopped suddenly and ended its life. Sheep are stupid. As I prayed, look, Lord, this is like your church. And then I saw the sheep brain itself on a fence. I thought, yeah, that really is like your church. The Bible describes us as sheep. It is no rose-tinted compliment. You are the sheep, the flock of God's pasture. It is a call to see our need. It is a challenge to who we think we are. It is a challenge for us to ground our hope, not in ourselves, but in God, who has spoken to us and of us, who explains to us what we are like. Sheep and shepherds go a long, long way back in the Bible. The son of Adam and Eve, Abel, was a shepherd. Then comes Avram Be'Terah, who we know better as Abraham. He was a shepherd when God called him. Wander where I will show you, God says, and I will grow you. I will be your shepherd and you will be my flock. And like sheep, Abraham went with Sarai. Their offspring became shepherds, Isaac and Jacob, and their sons. The whole of Jacob, who would become known as Israel, renamed the man who has struggled with God, would give that name to a whole people. Then Joseph, the son of Jacob, would, although he was never trained as a shepherd because he was too special, given a special coat because he was so special, ended up in prison and as a slave, eventually shepherding a whole nation and a whole region, being the one who would lead people out of starvation and lead his father's children into the land of Egypt, where they would live for 500 years, 450 of which as slaves. And when it came time to free the people, who did God choose? A political leader, one who'd been rescued and brought up in the corridors of power. But that wasn't what would qualify him to lead the people through the desert. It would be 40 years in the desert shepherding that would prepare Moses to lead the people. It was desert shepherdry that God required to place in Moses' life before he could be a leader of his people. And it was to Moses that God said his name, first of all, I am. The greatest king that Israel would ever have, David himself, would be trained on the hills of Bethlehem, not in the corridors of power, but in the fields fighting bears and lions with stones and sticks. That would be what would train Israel's greatest king. David, the greatest king that Israel would ever have, would be the one who would say to God, "You are my shepherd. I will want nothing. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me through the darkest valley, and you anoint my head before my enemies. In your love, I will live out my days." Amos, a shepherd of Tekoa, would be sent as a prophet to God's people, and the prophets would speak to the kings who should be shepherding the people but weren't, would speak to the priests who were shepherding the people but were not. And each of the prophets would call them, and God would use the standard of the shepherd as the highest standard by which he would judge and encourage his people. But what is more, throughout Scripture, God himself would refer to himself as shepherd to his sheep. It is no accident that he called shepherds and that he stayed with shepherds. It is no accident even that at Christmas, those who first heard the news of the birth from the angelic host were who? Shepherds. God is the shepherd God, the one who rules and reigns. And that is most evident in Ezekiel 34. Let me read this long passage to you. But listen well. This is God speaking to the leaders of his people. If you want, read along with me, again, to make sure that I'm not making it up or just to relieve the boredom of my voice. But read with me in Ezekiel chapter 34 if you have your Bibles on your phones or in your hands. I would recommend that if you carry your phone everywhere, you install a Bible app on it. Better than Facebook most days. Ezekiel 34. You there? "The word of the Lord came to me," says Ezekiel, "son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed those who are ill, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every hill. They were scattered over the whole earth. No one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, So I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will lead them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend to my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. In John chapter 9, Jesus meets a blind man and opens his eyes. The leaders all around are most concerned that Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. They thought he had broken some law that they had created. At the end of John chapter 9, Jesus says to them, "You are blind because you think you understand everything, but you can't see what's in front of you." And to the blind man, he says, "You see." And then in a moment of great ironic comedy, the leaders say to the man who was once blind but is now seeing, "Is who opened your eyes?" And he responds, "I don't know, I was blind." "But do you want to become his followers too?" They rise up in anger and kick him out of their assemblies, and they threaten Jesus. And Pete ably and helpfully opened up the beginning of John chapter 10 last week, where Jesus says, "I am the gate of life. I am the gateway for the sheep. It's only through Jesus that there is a way into eternal life. There is only one way to know God. It is Jesus himself." And then he continues in John chapter 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd." As soon as Jesus says these words, the religious leaders listening, all the people listening, are hearing the backing track of Ezekiel 34 that we've just read. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know my Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus stands in the temple courts and shouts aloud for all to hear, "I am the good shepherd." All around Jesus, as he says these words, as I've just said, the people are hearing what he's saying in the context of all that we don't naturally or easily take for granted or has already acknowledged. The history of the people as shepherds, their forefathers as shepherds, their ancestors in different places at different times as shepherds, God describing himself as shepherd over and over again. And do you see what qualifies Jesus as the good shepherd? Not his ability to know when the sheep are going astray, not simply his ability to understand who they are, not even the fact that he is God himself in human flesh. "I am the good shepherd, for I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus doesn't have his life taken from him. He is not a victim of a political, religious plot against him. Jesus lays down his life to show his love. Not like some fool who might say to his beloved on the top of a cliff, "Look how much I love you," and then throws himself off. Like, "Thank you." It is not some extravagant act of stupidity. It is something that achieves great effect and great change. Jesus doesn't throw his life away as though it were cheap and easy. Jesus did not have life taken from him because of his views or his teaching, because of what he did or what he said. I'm sure that each of the people around Jesus plotting against him had their own personal motivations. But do you see what Jesus says? No one takes my life from me. Again and again in John's gospel, as you read through it, as we read through it, we see several attempts on Jesus' life. They want to stone him. They want to throw him off a high cliff. They want to do all kinds of things to him in all kinds of places. But they can't, because it was not yet his time, or his hour had not yet come, says John. But here Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus, the good shepherd, out of love, chooses to put himself in harm's way to protect those whom he loves from harm. You and I. All of our different backgrounds and all of our different stories, all the different things that we hide from one another in the hope that no one sees, Jesus sees it all and knows it all to be true. And when danger comes, when God's love and God's truth come to us, in fact, the most dangerous thing of all is God's love for us, God's truth, God's person. When that is the most dangerous thing confronting us, Jesus, in God's love, truth, and justice, stands in harm's way for us. You see that God sees us, knows us, and loves us. God is just and true, and he sees our lives for what they truly are. And we are found wanting in all kinds of ways. God understands us, you and I, and calls to us to have relationship with himself. False teachers, false leaders, false shepherds run in the opposite direction. When danger comes, they leave and flee. Everything you have ever placed your trust in that is not Jesus has and will let you down. A partner, a culture, a business. Anything and everything will ultimately disappoint you, including you. But Jesus will not and cannot, because he is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd on the cross, laying down his life for you and for me. We are like sheep gone astray, unable to do what we most need because the danger we have placed ourselves in. This world, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, your schoolmates, your uni mates, your children, your parents, all in danger. Christians are marked out in this world as those who choose the way of the shepherd and look to the paths of peril. We follow the good shepherd, having been saved and loved by him, into danger. When danger shows itself, where do you find Christians but running into the heart of the storm, into the hottest place in the furnace, into the worst and the darkest places of this world? We, as children of light, as sheep of the shepherd, we go like lambs amongst wolves, bleating happily for the sake of our Savior. Why? Why do we do that? Because our Savior has loved us, and we know that he has done all that we need to rescue us. The death holds no sting for us. The fear of death is taken away from us, then what fear is left for us? What have you to fear when your good shepherd has laid down his life for you? Poverty, nakedness, danger, sword, famine, none of which are pleasant, let's be clear. It's not like we should be seeking those things out as the very best things of life. But Christ, the good shepherd, draws the sting from every awful thing we face. You and I, we need Jesus. We need him. In a world of leadership gurus, in a world of power politics, in a world of religious competition, in a world where there are endless amounts of books and programs for self-improvement and self-realization, we need Jesus. Not as a little add-on to life, but as life itself. We need to know that he has laid down his life for us completely. That you, in all the fullness of who you are, is met in all the fullness of Jesus and who he is. Every leader, every program, every diet, every personality profile, wherever you go, what you're really looking for is the lead and guide in life in Jesus. All else are frauds and liars, thieves, robbers, and murderers. Everything else that you place your trust in will only give you less of life, not more. I don't know where you've turned to for comfort and strength in life. I don't know where you're turning to for lead and love. But if you do not turn first to Jesus as your first and foremost, your ultimate and only hope, all everywhere else, all other places, all other people will let you down and leave you wanting and kill you just that little bit more. There is no one and nowhere else. God is the only uncompromising true way. The one who spoke his name to Moses is the one who stands and says, I am the good shepherd. The one who called Abraham is the one who calls you in Jesus. The one who anointed David as king is the one who offers you life. This God, the eternal true God who spoke creation into being, who keeps the universe together, is stood in front of this crowd as the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. You and I, we need Jesus. You are more loved than you can truly grasp. More loved than you can truly fathom. We think people love us because we're presentable and lovable. But look at a shepherd with his sheep or her sheep. They are not lovable creatures. The shepherd loves because they are a shepherd, not because the sheep are lovely. You are loved by God, not because of how amazing you are, not how awesome you are, but because of his love for you in who he is. We are in more danger than we truly comprehend. All of the great stories speak of an evil danger coming at the good hero. But we are the baddies in the story. We are not threatened by evil, but by goodness. We are the raging horde. We are the ones who are at fault, and God has come to rescue us from our own wickedness. And he does it in his Son, laying down his life, willingly, freely, lovingly, pouring out his love for those who have hated him so that we might know how to love him. You are called to a life that you dare not hope for. Not one of us deserve the love of God. Not one of us can claim by right in and of ourselves the love of God. And yet we are told in John's gospel that if we come to Jesus in faith, we by right become children of God, adopted into his family, loved and accepted as you are, that you might have a life that you dare not hope for. And as we are called to life that you dare not hope for, you are saved to serve a world that does not care, just like Jesus. So how will you respond? Let me make a suggestion. Identify the liars, thieves, and murderers in your life, all the things that would lead you away from Christ rather than to him. Ask Jesus to be your one and only shepherd. Ask him again and again and again. If you have walked away from him, come back to him. He is the good shepherd who loves you and knows you and accepts you. If you have never taken that decisive step, let me encourage you this morning to finally surrender to the good shepherd as a stupid sheep. Confessing, I'm stupid. I go to all the places of danger again and again. Rescue me. I know that you love me. that you've poured out your life for me. Very soon, Graham will come and lead us in communion. It's a great way of responding to this truth. The shepherd who laid down his life for you, giving himself to you as the sacrifice for you. There is good news here for you and for me and for everyone in Titirangi and beyond, inside this room and outside of it, for the whole of New Zealand, for the whole of the world, those who are on the far side of it. As we gather this morning, we gather knowing that God's global people are declaring his truth around the world. We ourselves are connected with Japan, with Reuben Shuttle serving there in Chicago, with Beth and Jeremy and now Brianne serving there. Friends and family serving around the world that God might declare his glory to every corner and every people group. The Good Shepherd became the sacrifice for our sin so that we might be free and loved and given life that we do not deserve. Graham, please come and lead us in this time of communion.